I thought during December in our little break that we have about what I would do in January in Tuesday Bible Lunch. And I thought, well, you know, one of the things I should do, it would be a good thing if I would just mention one thing each Tuesday in January that we would want to consider and perhaps build into our life that would make our year, 2017, a even better year. And so I started that 3 weeks ago today when we resume. You remember that? Well, I'm sure you don't remember that, just like I don't remember that song. But, you know, I talked to you about that great truth in the Bible that we reap what we sow. I mean, I had a good Bible study on that. And there are many other verses besides Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 that teach that. I was reading my Proverbs yesterday, if you sow iniquity, you reap sorrow. And I thought, huh, that goes along with that, reap what you sow. Well, you do reap what you sow. The problem with that is you'll reap more than what you sowed, and sometimes it'll be later coming, but it will come. But we talked about that. So I encouraged you that day, let's sow good things so that we can look forward to the reaping time. And then last week, I talked about learning how to hear God. And we talked about, you know, the Scripture. We have the Bible, the primary way we hear God. But not only that, I talked about the Rhema. And we won't redo all that again today, but sometimes God's Spirit speaks to our spirit, never contradicting what the Bible says. But many times, even as we read the Bible, we'll just, a verse kind of jumps up at you. And you think, oh, that's exactly what I needed. That is a Rhema. That's the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, my spirit, from the Holy Word, which the Holy Spirit inspired to be written. So, you know, we talked about learning to hear God. Now, today, what I want to talk about is making the Scripture the apple of your eye. Making the Scripture the apple of your eye. And on page 564, you're in Proverbs chapter 7, I hope. Look with me in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, my son, keep my words. And that word, keep, the idea of that word is you store. You guard. It means more than just read the word keep. You're going to store God's words. You're going to store them up. And you're going to guard them. And he says, and treasure my commands within you. And here it comes. Keep, there's that word again, store up, guard. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of the eye, the apple of your eye. Now, that little phrase, the apple of your eye, that appears two or three other times in the Bible. And literally, if we were doing a study in Hebrew, which the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, that word, that little phrase, the apple of your eye, that means the little man inside. The idea of the pupil of the eye, you know, the pupil, the center of the eye, which is so important for our vision. Pupil is very important. We don't want to get our pupil damaged. So you guard the pupil. You protect the pupil. If you're doing some kind of work that something might fly up into your eye, many times we wear safety glasses so that won't happen to us. Now, what he's saying here is, keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Now, sometimes we hear people, maybe a father, maybe a new father of his little baby girl might say, she is the apple of my eye. Don't we all feel that way about our little baby children? You know, they're the grandchildren, that they're the apple of my eye. Well, see, many things that we say, especially in parables, I'm going to start a series of sermons Sunday on some of the parables, and many of the little sayings that we have in life, they actually come from Scripture, from the Bible. And this whole thing about something or someone, it may not be someone, it may be something, is the apple of your eye. It means that's the thing that is just so very special. You cherish it, or you cherish that person more than any other person. Like Dottie is over there. Dottie, you're the apple of my eye. How am I doing? She signaled me on. If you notice last week, she's down close. She's just about moved out of the building today. But anyway, she is the apple of my eye. I cherish her more than anybody. other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how it should be. And she knows that. I don't say that to make points. However, I need all the points I can make. But anyway, now, what I want to talk to you today about, though, is how do we make the Bible, how do you make Scripture the apple of your eye? You cherish it. I mean, when you just see your Bible, it's the apple of your eye. You just have a good feeling. When you open it up, you just have a good feeling all about it. Well, I want to mention a couple of ways today and then give you some very little practical things in the time we have. First of all, I want to encourage you when you read the Bible, when you approach Scripture with a right attitude. That's so important. I think this is where many people just give up with the Bible. They don't mean to, but they approach the Bible and they don't have a right attitude. By that I mean, don't approach the Bible as some grinding duty. You're like, I've got to do this. You know, don't approach Scriptures. You know, I'm supposed to read this much today, so let me read as quickly as I can to get my daily reading done. You don't approach Scripture out of guilt. You know, sometimes, you know, a preacher can preach a sermon on, make us just beat us up. We don't read the Bible as much as we should. You feel guilty about it. So, well, I got to get to reading my Bible. Well, when you do, but the truth is, you don't realize it, but your motive is guilt. Well, that's the wrong attitude. That's not good. I encourage you, do not approach Scripture to keep up with your Bible reading plan. Now, I encourage strongly in our church, you need a Bible reading plan. It's like a roadmap. But don't make your plan God. The plan's not God. Some days you get off the plan. Well, that's okay, but you do have a plan. You know, it's like tracks. Like a train goes on tracks. Well, but if, you know, my own opinion, it can be wrong. I don't think it's wrong. My opinions are never wrong, but it could be. I just think if you don't have a plan, you won't be very consistent in your Bible reading. It doesn't mean you have to read through the Bible every year. That's not what I'm saying. But you need some plan to kind of help you know what to do. But don't let that become your God. That's the wrong attitude. You need to approach Scripture when you read the Bible, however little, however much, is that you're about to do something that is going to help you better know God and love Him more. That's what this book will do for you. It will just help you know God better. It'll help you love God more. That is the right attitude. Now, the second thing to do, I think, to help make the Bible, the Scripture, the apple of your eye, is approach Scripture not only with a right attitude, but approach Scripture with a heart to learn. Boy, this is key. You approach Scripture with a heart to learn. You know, every day as I read my Bible, of course, I have my 10 verses, but before I even launch into them, but one of my 10 verses is the verse, but before I start reading my Bible, I'm going to look with my eyes at Psalm 119, verse 18. And that verse says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in thy law. So I'm saying to you, I'm not suggesting you have to do what I do, but before I read the Bible, I just say, now, God, I want you to open my eyes. Today I'm going to read your word, and I'm just asking you to show me things, God, in your word today, perhaps I've not ever seen. And God, some of the things today that I have seen, I need you to kind of let me see them better. And so just open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in thy word. So, you know, that's... My heart is, I want to have a heart to learn, not so I can preach sermons. Now, it is true when I'm working on preaching sermons, I want God to open my eyes so I can see. But in my private Bible, in my private quiet time with God, that's not sermon preparation time. That's two different things for me. Every preacher is not the same, and that's okay on that. But I do better to let my Bible personal time, prayer time, reading, but be independent from my sermon preparation and study. Now, then I want to encourage you, if you'll just do that, you'll find that the Scripture will become the apple of your eye. Now, let me just give you quickly some little simple things. I thought about having these typed up on a card and put on the table, and I didn't do it. I may yet come back and do it. But let me just mention some practical things that will help you, whatever your Bible reading plan is, to make Scripture the apple of your eye. Number one, I want to encourage you, read from whatever Bible translation you can understand. Now, when I grew up, basically, we just had the old King James Version, the King James Version, which every verse I've ever memorized, that's what I say it in because that's how I memorized as a boy. But today, there are a lot of translations. And, you know, people who didn't grow up in church and people who've never read the Bible, I mean, you know, there are translations that will help them so when they read it, they kind of understand what they're reading. So, you know, it's not like one's good and one's bad. And, you know, if you think God wrote the King James Version, you know, you're just wrong. You know, the King of England in 1611 had some translators. None of them probably were saved, and but they were academically good to write one Bible so everybody in England would be in their churches reading out of the same Scripture. It's a great, great translation. But the New King James, NIV, New American, there are just so many good translations. I just encourage you, go to a bookstore. If you don't have a Bible that you feel like you understand anything much what you're reading, just read some of the different translations. Pick you a portion of Scripture you're familiar with. Maybe Psalm 23, for example. John 14, 1 through 6. Whatever. And read it in several translations and see what you feel is good. Computer people, you know, you can just put up a computer, all these different translations just side by side and read and find one. And then number two, and this will certainly apply to many of us in this room, read from a Bible that has print large enough to see. I've shifted over right lately to this Bible. It's the New King James, which is what I preach from most time because everybody can follow whatever they have pretty much. But I've had to go to this because I don't know what's happening. My print kept getting smaller. And I have trifocals. Do they make another focal on top of that? I don't know. But I thought, well, maybe the best. But seriously, if you have to squinch, you know, you just won't read much Bible. You won't read much. So don't be ashamed. Now, this is not giant print. I've not gotten to that yet, okay? I've not. But if you need giant print, get the giant print. But get something that you're comfortable reading. And it may sound silly for me to say that, but I'm telling you what, I really do enjoy reading something that I don't have to squinch better than trying to figure out, now, what is that word? What is that word? What is that word? And then I mentioned, have a Bible reading plan. I commend that. Don't make that plan, though, a God. You just let it be what it is. I want to encourage you, read a proverb each day. You've heard me say that repeatedly. Dottie taught me that. Billy Graham taught her that. I'm giving credit everywhere credit's due. When Dottie was a little girl at Ridgecrest up in North Carolina, Billy Graham then was like a young evangelist, and he was having a campfire service there. Am I telling this story right? Exactly? Okay. I really can do these stories better if she's not here because, I mean, but she's at this campfire service, and Billy Graham, who lived close by, had come to speak to these youth at this campfire service, and he said he read the proverb of the day, and he read five psalms every day. And Dottie has shared with me many times as a little girl hearing Billy Graham say that. Now, when he wasn't really as famous as he wound up being, it impacted her. And she said, from that time in my little young years, I started doing that. And she's done all these years. And then later on in life, she shared that with me, inspired me to do that. And then I hope I've inspired. It's a great, great thing. You know, Proverbs, you know, Psalms teaches us how to get along with God. We all need that. But Proverbs teaches us how to get along with people, and we really need that. Could I have an amen? Yeah, you know. I mean, if there were no people in the world, this thing would really be easy. It'd be boring, but it'd be easy. People, that's where we have. Proverbs teaches you how to do that. I was reading my proverb today and seeing some things. I thought, man, I needed to be reminded of that. Then I encourage you to read a psalm every day. Add these to your Bible reading plan. It's easy to remember. You know, today's the 24th, isn't it? Yeah, January 24th. So you read Proverbs 24. And the beautiful thing is each month you'll read through the book of Proverbs. Well, not always, because it's not always 31 days. But you don't need the virtuous woman every month. Just get her as she comes along. Thank you for being attentive. All right, now let me mention some more things here. Now, here's a key one. This will change everything about the Bible being the apple of your eye. Memorize Bible verses. And when I just say the word memorize, you can just feel it's the only thing I could say worse is we're fixing to have an offering. You mention money, you know, you can feel it. Well, no offering today. But I'm telling you what, I'm giving you some good stuff here. Memorize Bible verses. You know, the Bible even teaches, says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And, you know, the devil just gets us believing we can't memorize. He tells us we're too old to memorize. That is a bunch of lie. You can memorize. And just bulldog it down, however you do it. But just memorize some Bible verses that take some of those verses that help you the most and just commit them to memory. Commit them to memory. You know, as a little boy in the first grade, my pastor encouraged me to memorize Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. And I've told that story so many times, I won't tell the whole story again, bore you to death. But I did memorize it, but the motive was wrong. The motive was wrong. Because if you had memorized it and go say what he asked you to memorize, he'd give you a little Bible. He'd write in it. I wanted my Bible. That's why I did that. Motive was not right. But I memorized Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Till this day, I'm telling you, if I had to say a section of verses, it's been such a help to me. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. But there's so many verses. Just memorize as many Bible verses you can. And this is where the Bible takes on life, power, and encouragement. And I've learned this. Verses that I've memorized when I did not need them are there when I do need them. And so I encourage you, memorize as many Bible verses as you can. And then one other little practical thing that I'd say about approaching Scripture with a heart to learn is, you may never have thought about this, see the Bible as your friend. Say, my friend. Yeah, that's probably the best friend you have other than Jesus. You know, how many friends do you have that are always the same? Well, we won't pursue that. Well, how many friends do you have that can always, always be with you wherever you are? Well, I mean, it's impossible. Well, you know, I mean, how many friends always have the right counsel for you when you have a question or need? I'm just saying to you, the Bible is my friend. And when I talk about the Bible and the apple of my eye, I just want to encourage you. You know, here as we begin the new year, maybe reading the Bible every day is not something maybe you haven't built that into your life yet. That doesn't mean you're a bad person at all. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying you'll be so blessed to every day. You say, well, I wouldn't even know where to even find a plan. Well, we have several good Bible reading plans at the church. We'd be glad to, you know, give you a kind of a beginning plan, or if you want an exhaustive plan. But in the meantime, just, you know, start with Proverbs. I'll tell you a good thing I'm doing right now in Psalms. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. Now, don't start reading the whole 119th Psalm. But it's divided up in little stanzas. And right now, my Bible reading, I'm kind of working my way through Psalm 119. It's all about the Bible. All but about three or four verses in Psalm 119 is about the Bible. And that'd be a great place. You just start reading what the Bible says about itself in Psalm 119, and it will bless your heart. I was just yesterday, in fact, it sounds like the Beatitudes, blessed are the undefiled in their ways who walk in the law of the Lord. That's the first verse. So if I want to be happy with what that verse is saying, I need to live my life walking in the law of the Lord. Father God, I do not know. I wish I did, God, what a preacher could say to a people that would inspire them to just trust that if they would just let the Bible, the scriptures, become the apple of their eye, wherever they are in their Bible praying now, just help them to kind of go to the next step. And God, in the day and time in which we live, there's probably never been a time ever in our lives where we've needed to hear a word from you more than the time we now live. And God, it's right here. It's right here. And so I pray that as we think about our friends, that we include Holy Scripture. God, it's the same every day. It goes with us wherever we are. That which we've memorized, we've stored it up, and it'll be there when we need it. It's amazing how that works. And so, God, we just ask you to put in each of us a hunger and thirst for your word. Now, God, thank you for the opportunity of gathering here on Tuesday. Bless each one present. Thank you for each one who's come today. Give us safety as we leave, safety this week. And God, help us be a blessing to people as we have opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.